grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our text for this morning's sermon is taken from St. Luke's Gospel account, the 8th chapter. Beloved in the Lord, stepping out of the boat, Jesus is met by a man from the tombs. He is a man unlike others, though very much like all. He's possessed by the devil, under the rule of a legion of demons. He's naked, and his strength can break chains. He's a man unlike many others. This man is also a Gentile. He's unclean to the Jews. He's unclean because of unbelief. He's unclean because of sin. Together with his legion, this man is the epitome of all men apart from Christ. The most unclean, living in an unclean place with an unclean people, surrounded by unclean animals. He is a man unlike others, but he is also very much like all people. He is a man from the tombs. Like all who are apart from the true God, this man lives in death. Death surrounds him. Death is everything he sees, everything he smells, everything he thinks, everything he speaks. He is an enemy of God and his neighbor. He's a picture of the Gentiles, a picture of humanity, therefore also a picture of you and me apart from Christ. How many men, husbands, fathers, brothers, sons, live like this man in the tombs? How many set their hearts upon sin? The wages of sin is death. When the heart is set upon sin, the heart is set upon death. Most of society's ills are the result of our men living like this man, neglecting the righteousness of God. Divorce, adultery, abandonment, child abuse, abortion, sexual promiscuity, teen pregnancy, prostitution, drugs, alcohol, laziness, greed, theft, all can be traced to the failures of the head of creation. Women also have their role in sin and these social ills, most of which suffering from. But if our men stepped out of the tombs and sought to do right, much of these would be non-existent. The fact is, beloved, too many of our men have been trouncing about the tombs, and too many of our women have been with them, dated them, married them, indulged with them. So what about you guys? Been in the tombs lately? What about you gals? Is this the kind of guy you want to be with? Darting from the tombs to the feet of Jesus, this demon-possessed man begs for mercy. Though not the mercy that we would expect. He cries out, "What's between me and you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torment me." Time for torment is not yet. The demons, knowing full well who Jesus is and why he's come, plead for mercy, but not salvation. They only wish to be spared the tormenting presence of Jesus. They ask a good question. What is between me and you, Jesus? It's a question humanity asks all the time. It's a question many men ask when their wives want them to go to church with them. What's between me and Jesus? Why do I have to go to church? What do I need Jesus for? It's as though coming to church were torture, as though being in God's presence were tormented. The answer, of course, is that there is something between us and Jesus. And that's why we don't necessarily want to be too near him. And something is called sin. We are blind, dead, enemies of God. So who wants to be close to their enemy? Our old Adam is constantly fighting, wrestling, doing everything he can to convince us to stay home, sleep in, work on Sundays, go golfing, go fishing, go for a walk out into the woods, you know, occupy our time with other things. The last thing old Adam wants is to be near Jesus. That will be torturous. Because Jesus has come to kill the old Adam and to give new life in himself. Jesus has come to change us, and we don't necessarily want to change. We're comfortable with who we are, our lives, our status, our sin. At least we tell ourselves we're comfortable with these things. life is anything but comfortable. There's much around us to tell us that we're broken. We get sick. Marriages fail. Loved ones rebel. Friends betray us. The pressures and stress of the world are heavy on our shoulders. We sin. And sin happens to us. There's little peace, little joy, little happiness. Some of us even wish we were dead already. Beloved, the tempter doesn't need to possess us in order to keep us out in the tombs. We were born there. The tombs, the unclean life, the desire for sin, that's all natural to us. That's why we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. It's our fallen natural state, and we keep going back to it. We need to be rescued. Our men need to be rescued. Our women need to be rescued. Our children need to be rescued. And that rescue is found only in Jesus. Jesus isn't like any man. The men of the village, they try to bind this demon-possessed man. Humanity always tries to bind the sinner with the law. The law is always broken. Old Adam's too strong. Jesus hasn't come to bind, but to loosen. He's come to set the captives free. You see, all who are apart from Christ are already bound. They're bound to sin, bound to death, bound to the power and strength of the devil. They're not free, but slaves. Yet man in his arrogance believes that apart from God, he's free. Free to do as he wants, free to make himself happy with sin or as he sees fit, free to be his own God. Religion, man says, is only one of our shackles that needs to be broken these days. It's not religion that needs to be broken. It's not God who needs to be cast out, it's sin. To cast out sin, Jesus must take it. Take it all. He must take it unto himself and bear it outside the city wall. He must take it and kill it. Taking it and killing it, he dies. He enters the tomb for this man, for this village, for all men, for all people, even you and me. He enters the tomb with our sin, with our death, with the power and might of the devil in his hands, and he rises out of it. He steps from the grave like stepping off of that boat. He is alive. He is resurrected. He is victorious. Everywhere he goes to set the captives free with the forgiveness of sins. What happens in our text this morning, beloved, is a foreshadowing of what happens in holy baptism. The demons are cast out and they enter the swine. The swine run off the cliff and down the water. This is a great picture of the forgiveness given you in the waters of your baptism. For the demons which once held you tight were cast out. Depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit, we pray. They were cast out, and old Adam was drowned in that water. And the sins that plagued you were washed away in that water. The death that bound you was broken in that water. And the devil which held you was cast out. Now, baptized into Christ, you are free. Now, baptized into Christ, you are an heir according to the promise. Now, baptized into Christ, you can call on God as Abba, Father. Now, baptized into Christ, you are to be like this man in our text. All men, every man, is to be like this man in our text. Ladies, this is the kind of man you want for a husband, to be the father of your children and so on. You want a man who has met Jesus Christ, had his sins forgiven, and is now found sitting at the feet of Jesus on a regular basis. You want this kind of man before you get married. You want this kind of man before you even start dating. Ladies, you shouldn't date someone who is not a Christian. You shouldn't date someone who doesn't come to church with you. And you shouldn't think that you will be the one to change all that. Now everyone look back at our text. Look where the once demon-possessed man is found sitting. Look at the change in his character since the beginning of our text. First, he was out in the tombs. Then he was questioning God's presence in his life. What's between us, Jesus? Now, set free from sin, death, and the devil, he assumes the posture of discipleship. Men of God, this is where you are to be, at the feet of Jesus. This is the kind of man Jesus wants you to be, a disciple, one who learns God's word and is found no longer out in the tombs, no longer living a life of sin, but now found in the word, in the church, in the life, mercy, and forgiveness that Christ has purchased for you with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. For when you men are found at the feet of Jesus, so too will be our women and our children. When fathers come to church, more often than not, so too will mothers and babies and youth. When families gather in the Lord's house, there is godly change happening in that home. Sin is being forgiven. Love is being nurtured. Husbands are being kind to their wives. Wives are content with their station in this life. Children are reared in the fear and knowledge of God. Thus, fathers tend to the love of God and to the love of their household. This is what changes communities. This is what changes a nation. When the men of God follow the word of God, great things begin to happen. And there is peace and joy, not just in the house, but also in the streets. Go with Jesus. Don't we all? But Jesus isn't done with it. He sends him home. Return to your own house, Jesus says, and tell what great things God has done for you. Jesus sends him home. Disciples are first sent home to tell the great things that God has done in Christ. Evangelism begins in home. Discipleship continues in the home. The man's not sent back to the tombs. He's not even sent back to the village. He's sent home. Men of God, fathers, sons, husbands, brothers, you are to go back to your homes with the word of God in your heart and on your lips. Fathers, you are the shepherd of your house in that home. You teach them. You pray with them. You lead them in the worship of the triune God. You put the love of God into action towards your wife and your children. You're faithful even when others are not. And when you fail, as we all do, when you sin, as we all do, when you stupidly return to the tombs, as we are wont to do, repent. Repent and return to the feet of Jesus. For he is kind. He is merciful. His steadfast love endures forever, and he delights in drawing sinners nearer to himself. And then he sends you right back home to tell the great and mighty things God has done for you. Beloved in the Lord, this morning Jesus steps out of the boat, and he is immediately met by a man from the tombs. This morning, he is also met by us. May his word have his way with us, even as it did so long ago with that man from the tombs, so that we are no longer found unclean, but clean, forgiven, regenerate, and assuming the posture of discipleship in the Father's house. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.